Well, the Bible talks about God's promises to Israel. Do those still apply today? Does the Bible talk to us about what's happening in the Middle East today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. You know, when I got saved in 1971, end of 1971, I was told, began to hear, 72, look at Israel, Israel's prophetic timepiece, Israel back in the land, the Jewish people back in the land. It means the end of the age is near. Jesus is coming back soon. Hal Lindsey's book, Late Great Planet Earth. Many of you remember those days. Well, is that an accurate way of thinking? Is Israel today related to Israel in the Bible? Are ancient prophecies unfolding in front of our eyes? Is that a wrong way to look at Scripture? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire today. Thanks so much for joining us. If you have any Jewish-related question, if you are wondering about the situation in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas, if you are a Palestinian or a Muslim, and you may have a different perspective than I have and would like to interact with me, or if you just want to open up Scripture and have a Hebrew-related question, the phones are open, as we always do on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-348-7884. My latest article is entitled, Hey, Israel's Not Playing Fair, and it's how some of the media makes Hamas look like the victim. You can read that by going to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Latest Article. Before I get into any of that, I've been at a lunch meeting and discussing some ministry issues with some colleagues, came over to the office getting ready for the show, listening to our audio clips, and then just put on Drudge Report to look at the news and saw some tragic news. A Malaysian Airways, or Airlines passenger jet, has been shot down over Ukraine with 295 on board, all believed to be dead. Apparently, there was a ground-to-air missile while the flight was over Ukrainian airspace. Of course, Malaysian Airlines still reeling over the disaster of the plane that just disappeared and now shot down over Ukraine. I mean, the implications of this are massive in terms of civil unrest in Ukraine, in terms of international travel. It's a horrific tragedy, a terrible loss of life. And again, for the people of Malaysia, as this flight was a Amsterdam-Kuala Lumpur flight, another shocking loss. So let's really be praying for mercy for the families. Let's be praying for the families to turn to the Lord for comfort, to turn to the true Lord, the God of all, for comfort, and for God to give wisdom in terms of resolving this crisis on the ground with Russia, Ukraine, and again, who exactly is responsible, how this happened. Ukraine claims that it is Russian military involvement. Obviously, in my opinion, the government of Russia would not sanction shooting down a passenger airline over Ukraine, but exactly what happened and why will unfold. Apparently, 23 Americans were on board, but just a tragic loss of life. And again, just the murderous nature of humanity. Boy, how we need the Lord to return. How we need the ultimate solution to human suffering is the return of Jesus. And it amazes me that God can be so merciful when there can be so much sin, so many atrocities, so much wickedness, so much violence and perversion for the human race, that God still mercifully allows us to be here. Lord, your kingdom come. Whole lot to talk about today, but let's be praying for the families of these victims.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got some very powerful, eye-opening audio clips that I'm going to be playing for you today on the broadcast having to do with the crisis in the Middle East. 866-34-TRUTH. But Hamas, as in the political and military entity ruling Gaza, the Muslim organization, that does not mean violence, an acronym for three words. It is a Muslim brotherhood, a Muslim union. So it's just interesting that the abbreviation ends up basically the same as the Hebrew word for violence, Hamas, but that is not. The question is there a viable way to negotiate with Hamas? Is you always want to try to be a peacemaker. You always want to try to have some kind of workable solution between enemies and sit down at a table together. Can that be done with Hamas? Before I go to your calls and before we update you more on what's happening in the Middle East, I want you to hear this interchange. This is Jake Tapper on CNN, and he's interviewing Dick Cheney, clip number one.
I don't think you can negotiate a settlement with Hamas. I think they're absolutely sworn to fight to the death for the destruction of Israel.
What's the solution? They're the governing body of Gaza.
There may not be a negotiating solution. You may be in a position where Israel has to defend itself against terrorist attacks. They're now doing a very good job of it against the current Hamas attitude. But once Hamas took over Gaza, as long as they're part of a governing coalition, my own belief is that Hamas radical ideology, one of the most extreme out there, that there is no way that they're going to agree to any kind of a settlement. It just is not in their basic fundamental belief system.
In point of fact, Hamas was offered a ceasefire. And by the way, we're overcoming a technical difficulty here in our studio, so we've just got a slight delay if you notice a pause here and there between an audio clip or me speaking. But Hamas was offered a ceasefire. And again, Hamas started the attack. Hamas is the aggressor that started the attack on Israel. So or the Arab League, which is unusual that they would be standing together in this regard. And Israel accepted it, and Hamas refused it. And then Hamas has come up with a 10-year ceasefire, but Israel's going to have to do this and this and this and this and this. Like, well, hang on. You started the atrocities. You started the attack. You kidnapped the three Israeli boys and murdered them in cold blood. You started launching bombs. You did that. If you agree to stop attacking. No, the power of Hamas needs to be effectively broken. That's and for the good of the Palestinians living in Gaza, for their own good. You say, well, why would they even elect Hamas into their leadership? Because Hamas also does a lot of humanitarian work for the people. In other words, it's not just a military operation. It's not just a terrorist operation. So in that regard, the people look at Hamas and say, okay, they're fighting for our freedom and they're helping us in certain ways. But Hamas represents Islam. Hamas represents almost a suicidal mentality against Israel, still sworn to Israel's destruction. And we'll see. We'll analyze, is there a death wish of any kind or some type of attitude of martyrdom? Let's just listen a little bit more to Dick Cheney and Jake Tapper, clip number two.
Who started firing rockets? Of course, Hamas did. Hamas burrows into the Palestinian population, launches rockets from neighborhoods that are populated by innocent Palestinians. In terms so
that,
of
that
where
justifies what the US, what Israel does?
Israel has every right to defend itself against those kind of attacks.
Right. So the fact that the attacks are taking place from neighborhoods, from hospitals, from schools, that Hamas is launching their rockets from right in the heart of populated neighborhoods. And when Israel tells the people leave, they drop leaflets saying leave. They will call houses and say leave the house because the house is being used as a storage place for rockets or a command post for Hamas leadership. Leave. They tell them first. If they don't leave, sometimes they still have to go ahead and bomb. Why? Because people are attacking them. They have no choice. They must defend their own borders and their own people. 866-34-TRUTH, a whole lot to talk about. And again, I feel deep empathy for the Palestinians living in Gaza. I feel that they are victims of Hamas more than anyone. And as we're praying for Israel, we need to be praying for the Palestinians and above all for them to turn to the Lord for hope and refuge in Jesus, who is the ultimate in Washington, D.C. Gene, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, you're on.
I apologize for my gaps in knowledge concerning the subject that you have presented today, but I just ask you, and I think that maybe other people who are non-Jewish, other Christians, might have the same kind of gaps that I have, but what I do think I understand of it is that in 1948, Israel was granted the right to go back into the land that was promised to Abraham by way of God in the Old Testament. And when they went back, these people who are now called the Palestinians, they were occupying that land. They had moved into that land when Israel was scattered into all the parts of the earth. And there's been a fight going on, a struggle going on since 1948 between the descendants of Abraham by way of Isaac and the descendants of Abraham by way of Ishmael. And that now today, the people, the Palestinians, the descendants of Ishmael, you tell me if I got this wrong in my understanding, but that now they are being represented by a group called Hamas, and these Hamas people.
Yeah, so yeah, let me
militia. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, okay. Not yet. Let me fill a few things in, but you are you've got a large part of the story accurately. So let's back up even further. And by the way, there are 1,000 areas where I have gaps in what's happening in the world today and history. So we all do. So Gene, thanks for your humility in approaching this. But the fact is we all have gaps in our knowledge. So let's back this up a little further. Jewish people largely scattered from the land of Israel 1,800 plus years ago. And Roman emperor renamed the land Palestine, named after the Philistines, to mock Israel and mock the Jewish people. It wasn't called Palestine until 100 years after the time of Jesus. Different peoples lived there. There was always a Jewish presence in the land. There were Arabs who lived there. There were different ones who lived there. With the rise of Christianity over the centuries, there were different European groups that lived there. And then with the rise of Islam, Jerusalem is never mentioned in the Quran, but Jerusalem became a holy site in Islam and ties in with Islamic history. So there has been a Muslim presence there over the centuries. But no one ever tried to have this is our land, the land of Palestine. This is a homeland or something like that. The only ones that were always praying to return and looking to Jerusalem, those were the Jewish people through the centuries. This was their ancient homeland. Jerusalem was the eternal capital of the Jewish people. the late 1800s, more Jews began to move back to the land of Israel. There were Arabs and other peoples living there. The increase in Jewish presence and development of the land also brought an increase in Arab presence. And who were the Palestinians? The Palestinians were the people who lived there. Both Jews and Arabs identified as Palestinians at that point. As the Jewish presence grew, as there was a patriotic movement to of the 20th century, Theodore Herzl being the best name associated with that. Then come the 1920s, a radical Islamic leader, 1920s and 30s, radical named Haj Amin al-Husseini, began to draw on the historic Islamic anti-Semitism and Jew hatred in the religion and began to launch attacks on the Jewish people. He was even a confidant of Adolf Hitler. That was the mutual hatred they had of the Jews. The tensions then began to grow. Now we'll catch up on what happened after that as soon as we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, Michael Brown here. Coming some technical difficulties on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Thank you much for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. So, just catching you up on the modern history in the Middle East. What happened was that from this Haj Amin al-Husseini and the Muslim Brotherhood, a number of radical Islamic factions have grown out, one of them being Hamas. So this is just another radical Muslim organization. What they have in is a desire to put Palestine liberated. So what happened was there was much conflict about, especially after the Holocaust, the Jews need a homeland and so on. And aftermath of the Holocaust, the knife. So the UN came up with a partition plan in 1947 to say, right, this will be the part. So, and this the part for Palestine, and the Arab leadership said no. The Arab leadership said no, declared war on Israel. So Israel, brand new state, is immediately now surrounding nations, losses in the process, but somehow miraculously survive. So now you got Israel with hostile around 1967 in the Six-Day War. There were plans for a major assault of these nations to again wipe out Israel, to push the Jews into the sea, to wipe them off the map, and for, quote, Palestine to be liberated and to be fully Muslim once again. And Israel won the war 6 days, in many ways, quite miraculously. And in the midst of the war, now pushed forward, and in the midst of the war, took over areas that they had not previously had. Gaza had been under Egyptian control. Now it's under Israeli control, although that was given back to Hamas. And then Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, which included the old city of Jerusalem, that came back under Jewish control. So this is hotly disputed to this day. They're called the occupied territories. In point of fact, Israel acquired these lands in the midst of war, and the war was simply to defend themselves from being annihilated by enemies. After this, we will not recognize Israel, we will negotiate with this. That's where things have stood. So Israel has tried to work with this situation perfectly, but has tried to work with the situation. And other just occupation. Israel's guilty of occupying the lands. And point of fact, if Palestinian or Arab leadership in 1947 had said yes to the UN plan, there would have been two states living side by side. And today, if Palestinian leadership says that they do not want to annihilate or wipe out Israel and are willing to live side by side with friendship and with cooperation, and Israel would gladly work out a way to do it because Israel does not want ongoing war either. Now, what's happened is the Muslim leadership, the Palestinian leadership, there are in Israel, Palestine, two main groups, Hamas and Fatah. Fatah, which is the Palestinian Authority, which basically kind of the PLO, Yasser Arafat's organization. The Palestinian Authority, they still are enemies in way and still hold to an orthodox Islamic theology concerning Israel, but more moderate. And Hamas is sworn to this day to wipe Israel off the map. So the big question is the ideology of Hamas. The big question is, where do they stand in terms of using people as human shields? Where do they stand in terms of when they launch war on Israel? Is there any possible way that this is for the good of their own people? And it is highly, highly debatable. In fact, Joey, go with me to clip number 9. Clip number 9, this is Channel 4 in England, and there is discussion with Palestinian leadership representative speaking for Hamas. Clip number 9, let's listen to some of this interaction.
More civilians, more sighting, more error. That's the nature of war. That's what you're up to, war. And you seem to be happy for it to, frankly, well, if it results in dead children, dead women, that's it.
All right, so is Israel intentionally trying to kill civilians, as Hamas alleges, or is Hamas putting civilians in the way of Israel? Let's listen to clip number 10.
War is a terrible thing. Anyone who's been in the military, anyone who's been in a war zone, your reporters who cover war know that better than anyone else. But let's be clear. We tried to end it all yesterday. There was a ceasefire proposal on the table by the Egyptians, a proposal supported by the Arab League, not known to be particularly friendly to Israel, supported by the United Nations. We supported that ceasefire proposal. We ceased all our operations against terrorist targets in Gaza for some 6 hours. And the reason the conflict is continuing today and tonight as we speak is because Hamas said no to that ceasefire proposal. Hamas, in both word, they rejected it, and indeed they continued firing rockets at our people, at rain barraging our cities.
Right, that's a representative for Israel. So, in charge is right, the Palestinian response and Hamas response is no. We're not using people as deals, women, children, never. We would never do that. And we Palestinians love life as much as anyone else. We don't have this martyr mentality. Well, the problem is you have Hamas speaking to Israel on Hamas TV saying, we love death more than you love life. So, I mean, I'm looking at the clip from the end of 2012, Hamas TV to Israelis, we love death more than you love life. The price will be high, Zion, all Palestine is ours. There's nothing here for you but death. And of course, if it's their death, it's Israel's death. See it, that mentality. All right, friends, if you are glad to have us on the air, if you are glad to have us on your way, if you are glad that we're on the front lines, it's happening in the Middle East, and we are on the front lines of Jewish ministry and outreach, part with us. Why not become a torchbearer, monthly supporter? We'll send you as a thank you gift the complete Tree of Life Bible, a complete translation of the Bible, brand new first edition by a team of Messianic Jewish scholars. That's a $30 value, but it's our thank you gift as you become a monthly supporter. If you can put aside a dollar or more per day, $30 a month, you will help us expand and amplify this voice. And every month we send you a new audio message. We give you 15% discount to our online bookstore. We give you free access to our online classes, and then keep you on the front lines with prayer update letters of what's happening in the ministry. So not only will you be blessed by what you receive, but you'll be blessed by what you give, because you're partnering with us to be on the front lines making a difference. So you can do that by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the option to become a torchbearer, or you can call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. We have been overcoming three different technical issues, one, then another, but I think we're good. I think we are properly connected and good to go. 866-34-TRUTH on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And I just want to play a little bit more from this Channel 4 interview. And I want you to hear responses to this idea that Israel is targeting citizens or hospitals or that kind of thing. Or the idea that, no, Hamas, there's no death wish with Hamas or anything like this. This is Channel 4 in England, clip number 11.
Well, let's be serious and move on from children to geriatrics and to people with paralysis. Lying in a hospital at 3:30 in the morning, the El Wafa Hospital. What was the point of bombing the El Wafa Hospital, for goodness sake?
Your reporter said he was interviewing one of the medical staff, and he heard outgoing rockets from the immediate vicinity.
No, that was a different hospital.
Those are outgoing.
Well,
I
just heard from my correspondent
to give them impunity?
That question. It is indeed the right hospital, but he was there, and the rockets went near the hospital, but not actually in the premises. And you bombed the premises.
Well, once again, hostile fire, and we were acting to try to neutralize the hostile fire.
Yeah, so this is Jon Snow. He's interviewing Mark Regev. And the Israelis are saying, look, there are rockets being launched at us trying to kill our people in the proximity of that hospital. What do you want us to do? Do you want to let our people just get killed, have our people just get bombed, give Hamas impunity to try to kill whoever in the world you want to kill? And we are not supposed to retaliate? You are the ones, Israel's telling Hamas, you are the ones putting your own people in danger. And Mark Regev, by the way, is chief spokesman for the prime minister of Israel since 2007. A little more dialogue from Channel 4 in England. Let's go to clip number 12 as the relevant discussion continues.
Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization that has no qualms whatsoever about shooting rockets into Israel from hospitals, schools, mosques, the middle of civilian neighborhoods. We had 100 rockets today on our cities. Over the last few days since this crisis started, we've had some 1,000 rockets raining down on our cities trying to kill our people.
Hamas is the cause of the trouble. Can I point out that when Israel gave Gaza over to the Palestinians, they uprooted thousands of their own people who had been living there for years and who had developed. I mean, literally having to drag Jews out of the land where they had been living for years. And they unconditionally pulled out, and the Palestinians as their leadership in Gaza. And that has brought things down, down, down. You say, yeah, but Israel's a blockade so that Hamas does not bring more weapons in. In fact, just earlier today, or within the last 24 hours, Israel found 13 Hamas terrorists who had dug a tunnel, and they were on their way into a kibbutz to kill and the IDF has found quite a few tunnels that they've tried to dig to get in. Why? To kill Israelis and or to kidnap Israelis, men, women, children, however innocent they may be. That's the mentality. And again, remember, Hamas has publicly said, we love death more than you love life.
The world.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. On this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, with some thoroughly challenging tech issues to overcome, but it appears we have now finally overcome and overcome and overcome again, so that everything should be smooth as glass. And I want to go back to the phones. Let's go to Laurel, Maryland. Yolanda, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to actually to speak with you, and I'm very honored.
Well, thank you.
My question to you, as I posed to the gentleman that asked me before, is not so much to get on the technical terms, because I am not anyone that would know Jewish history, although I was raised in the church, and I still think we here in the United States, those of us on this side of the water, only get a brief perspective or one-sided view of what people want us to know regarding Jewish history. But what I want to ask you personally is, with everything that's going on, where do you stand? What do you see, sense that the Holy Spirit is saying to you as regards how all this is tying in historically and where we are now with everything that's happening?
Yeah, it's a great question, Yolanda. First, I can't get away from the fact that God promised to keep the Jewish people. God promised to scatter us. God promised to regather us, and all that's happened. There's never been a people scattered out of their homeland for a period of centuries that maintained their identity and then returned back to their homeland after centuries and centuries. It's never happened, but God said it would happen with the Jewish people. That gets my attention. He also said that we'd be disciplined and yet preserved. So our numbers are small compared to other ancient nations, and yet we have been preserved, we have been regathered. There are also scriptures that speak of all nations turning against Israel and Jerusalem. For example, Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14. You had to wonder 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 500 years ago, how's that going to happen when there's not a Jewish Jerusalem and there are not Jews living in the land? And I believe we can also demonstrate, based on verses in the New Testament, that it will be a Jewish Jerusalem that welcomes back Jesus, the Messiah. So
wow.
That tells me that what's unfolding in front of our eyes has prophetic significance and has biblical significance. I'm not date setting or anything like that. It also tells me that although Israel and the Jewish people are not without guilt, that there really is a satanic desire to destroy the Jewish people. In other words, as a Jew myself, I can easily be critical of my people. I can joke about our weaknesses and our strengths. You know, every people group has strengths and weaknesses. And as a Jew who loves Jesus, I can call my people to repentance. And yet I recognize that the hatred, the world hatred that comes against Israel is supernatural. I recognize that the hatred that birthed a Holocaust is supernatural. I recognize the fact that there is so much hostility towards Israel. Here, Israel's getting bombed by Hamas terrorists who want to kill and destroy. And in certain parts of the world, Israel is the bad guy and Israel is blamed. And there are, you know, people saying, put the Jews back in the ovens. So I see a satanic, supernatural hatred of the Jewish people. Again, it's not to say that we're without blame, but it's to say that the hatred is supernatural. So where does that put things? I'm fully aware that God loves Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims as deeply as he loves Jewish people. I'm fully aware that Jesus shed his blood the same for all. And I'm fully aware that it's an equal tragedy when a Palestinian child dies as when an Israeli child dies. So I look at these various things. How do I put it together? Okay. One, I grieve over the loss of life, period. And we need to be praying for mercy and intervention. Not just for the protection of Israel, but for mercy and intervention. Second thing is, I believe that we should pray for the repentance or removal of Hamas leadership, because they are radical Muslims and they are hurting their own people as well. And then we pray for protection for the people of Israel and for the Jewish people to turn to the Messiah, to turn to Jesus, the Messiah, as their only hope. And on a political level, Yolanda, we encourage America to stand strong and faithfully with Israel. Israel is our number one ally in the Middle East. Israel is the only true democracy in the Middle East. And if you take Israel out of the picture there, okay?
And
just picture this. Let's say you're looking down at a piece of paper, right? Just like a, you know, 8.5 by 11. And you just draw one little line in the middle of it. That's pretty much the nation of Israel in the midst of the Muslim world. In the Middle East and Northern Africa and Iran, etc. The surrounding Arab land is about 650 times the size of the land that Israel has. So it's this tiny little sliver, and it has encroaching on it radical Muslims, radical Islam that wants to control the whole region. So you picture if we don't even have Israel as an ally there, and if we're not standing with Israel and its democratic values, that does not speak well of America. And I do believe that God will bless America as we stand with Israel. Let's just say God will extend more mercy to us than we deserve as we stand with Israel. And is there a simple peace solution? No, I don't see one. However, I agree with the larger statement that if the Palestinians put down their weapons, there would be no more war. If the Israelis put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. I do agree with that statement. Yeah, it's been said many times, but I believe it's accurate. The key thing is that as we pray for Israel, we remember that Jewish people still need Jesus. And as we pray for the protection of Israel, that we don't forget about the Palestinians who are suffering terribly because of the bad decisions of their leaders and little kids being brainwashed to hate Israel and to want to see Israel destroyed.
Okay. Dr. Brown, I want to be honest with you. You have enlightened me. I think the quest for knowledge and understanding, I think being here in the church, and we're so ignorant of some things, and we somehow get this elitism at mentality that as far as the church, you know, I understand spiritual Jews and being grafted in, you know, my parents are pastors. I mean, I understand all that, but literally speaking, I don't think that we really fully comprehend and really have interpreted the scriptures. Or just look at how everything is played out. And I thank you so much that you have enlightened me, especially when you said draw a line. Because I have a friend that travels to the Middle East and in that area, and she works with an NGO. And she tells me of how culture, how life is outside of where I'm at, where I live, because I live in the state of Maryland. And you get a tunnel vision. And when she tells me about the things that are going on and things that she's encountered in some countries where they're not fighting, and then there's countries where there are hotbeds that she has to go in, you know, she goes into the Arab Spring. And just to think about what is happening, and I pray for her protection as she goes, but at the same time, you know, using wisdom. But I'm not ignorant now. I'm no longer ignorant. Okay, what is really going on?
And yeah, our
media only tells us so much what they want us to know.
And, you know, it's the same in any country. With media, you know, you get a limited perspective. The good thing is we have a lot of information accessible to us. Hey, Yolanda, you have a way to watch a DVD, correct?
Yes, I do. And I also want to join your, because I really want to be able to sow into your ministry, but not just your ministry, but what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
I would really like to have that Jewish Bible.
All right. Well, tell you what, there is a number you can go to my website. That's Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.
I've been on it, yes, sir.
All right, but stay right there. I want to send you as a gift a DVD. It's a lecture I did at the University of South Florida called Is Israel an Evil Occupier? And you'll see a map. You'll see tiny Israel in the midst of this map. But Yolanda, thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate it. Stay right there. Dwight's going to get your address. I want to send you this as a gift. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Larry in Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Michael Brown.
Hey.
Hey, great show. I really enjoy it, and I think what you've just told Yolanda is I have to absolutely agree. I'm a born-again Christian. And, you know, it reminds me, the bottom line, in a sense, Jesus said, you'll not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He was speaking to the Jewish people. He was not speaking to the church. You there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here, okay, nodding, okay, actually. Okay. I'm agreeing with you, buddy.
Yeah, oh, I know you would. I know you would.
Yeah, so,
hey,
so there's got to
Bible.
Be...
I already
right,
got
Matt,
that Bible. I like it.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
I've got a end for you, too, and I want to order Hyper Grace from you also. But anyway, I wanted to point out, Michael, that, the real problem, I think, in the actual world... You know, not to mention our administration here in the United States, but it's the global elite. Global elite are the ones pulling all the strings, controlling all the media, and causing all the problem. Because I recently read a book by Dennis Cuddy, PhD,
Larry, I'm so sorry, I got to jump in, but thank you for sharing that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Again, some tragic news. We reported at the beginning of the broadcast, Malaysian jetliner was shot down apparently by a surface-to-air missile. While over Ukrainian airspace, it was an Amsterdam Kuala Lumpur flight. You say Malaysian Airlines, didn't they lose that plane over the ocean? And yeah, so that is still ongoing agony for the people, for the nation. And now this news and the larger implications of this, I can't even begin to imagine what could come out of this. Obviously, it could just be an isolated event, but the idea that a passenger airline could be shot down is absolutely shocking. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Raj in Vienna, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, my dear brother. You have been such a blessing. I've been listening to you and your faithfulness to the Word of God, the leading of the Spirit of God, that has just blessed my heart. And I know they've blessed many of those who are in the listening audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for those kind words.
I want you to, of course, expand on this, because in Malachi chapter 4, it says very specially about the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Of course, it goes on. But the reason I brought this to your thoughts was, you have been speaking in love. John 3:16 speaks in love. But I believe we have to call them to the fire which is before them. That we're virtually plucking them from the fire when we share with them the gospel of the grace of God.
Mm. Well, let me say this, Raj. The fact is, we must speak both of the love of God and of the wrath of God, that it is not loving to not speak of wrath. It is not loving if we don't warn. It is not loving if we don't tell people, Jew and Gentile alike, that there are consequences to sin, and there are consequences to rejecting God. It's not love if we don't tell someone, you're driving fast down the road to that bridge, but the bridge is out, and you're going to crash and die. Love goes beyond personal feelings. In other words, it may be uncomfortable for me to warn someone, but love tells me to warn them. It may be uncomfortable for me, to use that same analogy, to stand in the road and wave my hands to try to stop a speeding car. That may not be my comfort zone. It may even be dangerous, but I know if they don't slow down, they think there's a bridge there and there isn't, and they're going to die. So love causes us to go beyond our own feelings, emotions, and even our own self-preservation. And sadly, a lot of us are more interested in preserving our reputation, preserving our own stability, preserving our own security, than we are concerned with obeying God and reaching out to others. But love...
And how important this is for all the leadership at all levels in the Muslim faith.
Yeah, well, the Islamic leaders, obviously, most of them would be sincere, and of course they're sincerely deceived, but we must somehow reach them with the message of the truth and tell them that they are misleading others and guiding others on a path that is not going to lead to the presence of God and eternal acceptance and paradise. Raj, thank you again for the call and for the kind words. I watched as I was on the air yesterday, I watched during the break especially some clips from Egyptian TV where they are standing solidly with the Palestinian people and not pro-Israel in any way, but hostile towards Hamas. I'm looking at an article now in the Washington Times from Cairo. The Palestinian militant group Hamas is losing support among Egyptians, who increasingly are criticizing its role in the violence plaguing the Gaza Strip and Israel. Remember, the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas were partners in ideology, and both have similar origins going back to militant Muslim movements over 60, 70 years old. So, as the article notes, once friendly towards Gaza's ruling regime, Egypt has become wary of Hamas militants in the tumultuous years since the Egyptian military overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood-led administration of President Mohamed Morsi. So you have a militant rule over Egypt, and then that gets overthrown by the people. I mean, they voted for them and said, whoa, you are more militant and extreme than we realized. And they realize that Hamas is doing the same thing. And Hamas is leading its own people to destruction. Hamas is leading its own citizens to destruction. And when the UN called just for humanitarian ceasefire, 6 hours for humanitarian purposes, Israel said yes, and Hamas continued to bomb. So increasingly, they are losing support of other Muslims and other Arab nations or leaders, which means they continue to commit corporate suicide. The good could be that if Hamas falls and a more moderate leadership is raised up, then Israel could work with them. And if Israel could work with moderate Palestinian leadership and moderate Muslim leadership, if such an entity truly exists on a national level with Israel, that Israel would be quick to improve the lifestyle. Israel would be quick to improve the standard of living. And then, yes, some will still be motivated by hate and want to see Israel destroyed, but otherwise people would say, hey, it's better for us. Why are we fighting? Is that a pipe dream? Could be. Could be. But at least it's something to think about. But the fall of Hamas is for the good of the Palestinians. All right, friends, you constantly hear talk about the Tree of Life version of the Bible. You've got the first edition that this has ever been printed, a complete edition of the Old and New Testament by a team of Messianic Jewish scholars. And if you'd like to join our team, be a card-carrying Jesus revolutionary, as we like to say, a torchbearer, and help hold my hands up every day as I'm on the radio, help amplify my voice to speak to more and more people as I'm writing at 3 a.m, which I commonly do, you'll be holding my hands up and breathing strength and life into me as I write to help us reach more people, to become part of our team, monthly supporter, and we'll send you the Tree of Life version of the Bible in hardcover as a thank you gift. Call this number, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the best thing that could happen to the Palestinian people is the fall of Hamas and the rising up of a compassionate leadership. Well, the Bible talks about God's promises to Israel. Do those still apply today? Does the Bible talk to us about what's happening in the Middle East today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So when you read a passage like this, Zechariah, the 12th chapter, do you read it and say, well, that hasn't happened yet, that's still future? Do you read it and say, no, that happened in ancient Jewish history? Or do you read it and say, nah, we just interpret it spiritually? Michael Brown, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me read to you Zechariah 12:1. In fact, let me just switch over and read to you from the New Jewish Version. A pronouncement, the word of the Lord concerning Israel, the utterance of the Lord who stretched out the skies and made firm the earth and created man's breath within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a bowl of reeling for the peoples all around. Judah shall be caught up in the siege upon Jerusalem when all the nations of the earth gather against her. And that day I will make Jerusalem a stone for all the peoples to lift. All who lift it shall injure themselves. Did that happen yet? Not in my opinion, no. Not in the view of the biblical interpreters that I've followed and respected. Now, I've seen articles and interpreters who interpretations arguing that this has already happened, but I see no solid evidence for that. In other words, just reading this in its plain sense and contextually, I see no evidence for that. And it does speak of the time when God will now fight for Jerusalem as it is surrounded by enemies. Zechariah 14 speaks of the same thing. And then it says, verse 9, in that day I will all but annihilate all the nations that came up against Jerusalem. Has that happened yet? No. Do we have any indication this should be taken spiritually? No. But I will fill the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with a spirit of pity and compassion, and they will look to me, and I'll read from a more traditional messianic or Christian version. They will look to me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as over a favorite son and show bitter grief as over a firstborn. You say, yeah, but John 19, after the crucifixion and Jesus is pierced, it says this fulfills what was written in Zechariah, they'll look to me whom they've pierced. So doesn't that mean that Zechariah 12 was already fulfilled at the cross? Well, clearly the rest of Zechariah 12 was not fulfilled. And clearly there was not national repentance that happened at that point. So what's John saying? Well, how about this happened so that Zechariah could be fulfilled? In other words, that the word in Zechariah 12, they'll look to me whom they've pierced, that cannot be fulfilled without Yeshua the Messiah being pierced. So the fact that he got pierced is so that this verse can be fulfilled. Pretty simple. In any case, when I look at Zechariah 12, I say, no, that hasn't happened yet. There are other prophecies in Zechariah that have happened. There are things that God spoke of about returning the Jewish people, regathering in mercy and reestablishing and joy back in the city of Jerusalem and so on after the destruction of the Babylonian exile. And those prophecies came to pass. You can even argue that parts of Zechariah 13, some of it clearly has come to pass. And that's in the midst of Zechariah 12 and 14. But no one says all the chapters are chronological here. There are passages in Isaiah, the 19th chapter, that speak of the future turning of Egypt and Assyria, which in today's terms would be Egypt and Iraq, that they would turn to the Lord and that Israel would be the third part along with these two nations, which are now Muslim nations, as they all worship the God of Israel together. Has that happened yet? No. Do I expect it to happen? Yes, I do. We've got some really intense dialogue, some audio clips to play for you, a debate on CNN. Don't go anywhere.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
BBC!
Tell the truth!
BBC!
Tell the truth!
Boycott! BBC! Boycott! BBC!
Boycott! All right, this is really interesting. BBC getting blasted by Muslim protesters in England and allegedly for biased coverage, for coverage that is, what, pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian? I mean, BBC has been infamous for coverage that was slanted the other way, that was consistently anti-Israel, anti-Zionist. I remember being overseas one time and putting on BBC International News and was shocked. It was overt. There was no attempt. There was no attempt whatsoever to moderate the bias or to hide the bias. And in my article, which is Israel's Not Playing Fair, where you can go read it by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. I have some citations, some quotes from BBC and their coverage not being fair. For example, so I'm talking about the other way. So BBC is getting it both ways here. I mentioned Kevin Connolly on BBC July 11th. To the outside world, the Gaza rockets may seem ineffective, partly because many are homemade and partly because they're hopelessly overmatched by Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile defense system. In other words, Israel's not playing fair. Connolly says lots of the rockets in Gaza are workshop weapons. What if Israel staged a huge operation, left declaring it a success, then found homemade rockets raining down a week or a month later? So this whole idea, you know, look, Israel, they've got this massive firepower, and it's not fair because Hamas, the aggressor, attacking them. They just have these homemade rockets. Oh, yeah, homemade rockets that reach Tel Aviv now. Homemade rockets that have killed Israelis. BBC report from July 9th. They quoted the Gaza-based human rights lawyer Raji Sarani, who said, quote, "This is a third consecutive war against Gaza since 2008, and Israel always, I mean, do target the civilians, and they are in the eye of the storm. So Israel is launching war against Gaza, and Israel is targeting citizens." One of the most vehement British political leaders, vehemently anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, is George Galloway. And listen to what he has to say. Joey, let's go to clip number 6, as he is not happy with BBC News either.
I refuse to pay a license fee to the BBC to tell lies to the British people.
Ah, so he says that BBC is telling lies to the British people. He's speaking at that protest against BBC. What if Hamas's actions are so atrocious, if Hamas's actions are so destructive to the Palestinian people, that even if BBC tends to have a pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel bias, that even reporting half fairly now is going to make them seem pro-Israel? You follow what I'm saying? If Hamas is so bad and BBC just makes them moderately bad, it's still showing bias, but it's going to look as if they are against Hamas, whereas Hamas is their own worst enemy. Joe, let's skip down, beginning in clip number 14. This is Jake Tapper. This is from 1 week ago. He is on CNN. He's debating former PLO legal advisor Diana Bhutu, and he is addressing the issue of why is Hamas doing what they're doing, and why aren't other Palestinians trying to stop them? So I want you to listen carefully to this interchange. We'll start with clip number 14.
Why is Hamas launching missiles into population centers of Israel, and are any other Palestinians trying to stop them from doing so?
As I've indicated, Jake, there have been attempts to try to stop all of this, but the fact of the matter is that the Israelis have indicated that they are not interested in brokering a ceasefire or seeing any ceasefire take shape whatsoever. So this isn't just a question of people coming together and stopping them, because the Israelis have indicated very clearly that they don't want to stop.
All right. Now, first thing, let's just understand that Israel has no reason to accept a ceasefire until Hamas has no ability to attack its civilians anymore. In other words, Israel could say, no, you launched cold-blooded, murderous attacks on our civilians. You kidnapped and killed three of our boys in cold blood. You launched rockets against us. You are attacking and targeting civilian populations. We're going to take you out so you can't do this anymore. Israel could say that. Israel doesn't have to accept a ceasefire, except the fact is that when the Egyptian government brokered a ceasefire and it was supported by other parties and other Arab leaders, Israel said yes, and Hamas said no way. And then the UN said, okay, we just need a break. We need a six-hour humanitarian break just to help care for people on the ground. Israel said, we accept the ceasefire for 6 hours, and Hamas goes on attacking. All right, let's go on with this dialogue. Clip number 15.
There are reports of the spokesman of Hamas. We actually have the video of him going on Palestinian television, urging people to serve as human shields, staying in their homes, even if the IDF is warning people in those homes, because they're Hamas officials' homes, that they're going to be destroyed. They're telling them to stay there. Do you at all find that reprehensible, using women and children to be human shields to protect these homes?
All right. Great question. Here is a former legal advisor for PLO, Diana Bhutu. She's being asked quite directly by Jake Tapper. Look, we've seen the footage. We've seen it. Hamas is telling people, go back to your homes. Israel's saying, leave, leave. And Hamas is saying, stay. So clip number 16, how does Diana Bhutu respond?
Jake, I haven't seen that video, but if that were the case, that would be reprehensible. I think that the bigger picture is that this isn't the case. What we have seen is, over the course of the past couple of days, more than 80 Palestinians killed. The population of the Gaza Strip, 43% of it is under the age of 14. And we've seen that half of the people who've been killed are women and children. The idea that Palestinians use children as human shields is racist and reprehensible. And the idea that the Israelis are somehow spewing this and we're to believe it is also racist.
I'm looking at the transcript of the announcements. Hamas's Ministry of Interior spokesman, Yad al-Buzu. All right, this is on their Facebook page, July 13th, 2014. Answering the occupation's calls, meaning Israel's calls, will merely aid it in carrying out its plans to weaken the Palestinian home front and to destroy property and homes as soon as you leave them. We call on all our people who have left their homes to return to them immediately. Do you understand what's happening? Hamas and the PLO was famous for this. I mean, literally for cowering behind women's skirts. Here's the Israeli soldier. I mean, that's not an exaggerated picture. Saying you're going to have to kill this woman to get to me. So Hamas will set up its rocket launchers in a school building or next to a hospital and store their materials in a home or set up leadership command in a home. And Israel, because of their advanced intelligence, will say, okay, we know you're there. Citizens, we don't want to hurt you. Leave. They rain down leaflets. They send out, they make phone calls. Leave, leave, leave. They will even drop a shell on a roof to say, leave. We're going to bomb. Get out, get out. And what is the Palestinian leadership or the Hamas leadership? They say, go back, go back. July 12th on the Facebook page, the Hamas Ministry of the Interior and National Security calls on our honorable people in all parts of the Gaza Strip to ignore the warnings to vacate areas near rocket launching sites before Israel bombs them, to ignore the warnings that are being disseminated by the Israeli occupation through manifestos and phone messages, as these are part of a psychological war meant to sow confusion on the Palestinian home front in light of the Israeli enemy's security failure and its confusion and bewilderment. So Israel's saying, leave, we don't want to hurt you. We don't want to hurt you. And the Hamas leadership is saying, go back, go back. So what about this charge? Diana Butu says it's racist. Clip number 16. Let's hear the response. I'm sorry. Hang on, Joey. We're not going to have a chance to play this before the break. Yeah. We're all on that. And it's actually clip number 17 that we're going to play next. What about this charge that to say that Hamas is using men, women, and children as human shields is racist? Who said anything about race, by the way? Who said anything about this being something that all Arabs do? This has been an Islamic radical strategy for decades. Documented. People can watch video of it now on YouTube. It's that bad. So pull up more to come. Stay right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. 866-34-TRUTH. Any Jewish-related, Hebrew-related, Israel-related question? Love to hear from you. If you're a Palestinian, if you're a Muslim, if you have a different perspective on Israel's conflict with Hamas, I'm happy to hear from you as well. This is not one-sided. Yeah, I have deep convictions on these issues, but I'm always happy to dialogue with those who differ. And if I can make a case to persuade you, wonderful. If you've got the truth and I don't, you'll persuade me because I want the truth. I'm quite sure about what I'm saying, but I welcome dissent. 866-348-7884. Before we go to the phones, so Diana Butu says the charge that Hamas is using men, women, and children as human shields is racist. So this is Jake Tapper speaking with former legal advisor to the PLO, Diana Butu. This is about 1 week back. Let's go to clip number 17.
Diana, it's not racist that we have video of the Hamas spokesman on television telling people to stay in their homes. It's an effective way to make sure to fight off the Israelis. That's not racist. That's just a fact.
Jake, I haven't seen the tape, first and foremost. And secondly, as I've indicated, that if this were the case, then that would be reprehensible. I somehow do not believe, though, that people are going to listen to somebody who says, stay inside while your house is being bombed. People don't want to die, Jake. And the fact that the Israelis continue to drop bombs on them doesn't make them want to die anymore. It's simply a fact that what the Israelis are doing is they're dropping bombs of a magnitude that we've never seen before on a captive civilian child population.
Captive civilian child population. By the way, there is a very high percentage of younger people. And this is common in the Muslim world, in countries like Yemen and countries like Libya and among the Palestinians. So there's a very high birth rate and a high number of younger people. But it is mind-boggling that she can say this, as if she doesn't know that the PLO did this very thing. PLO was famous for doing that in Lebanon and endangering the civilian population. And look, a Palestinian woman posted on my Facebook page the other day, Hamas is not using these people as human shields. They are willingly dying. She posted this. She said, long live Palestine. She said they are willingly standing with their leaders. So one more clip. Well, no, hang on. We've got a couple more, but I'm going to play one more right now. Clip number 18, Jake Tapper responding.
Well, it's horrific, but I can't believe you telling me people don't want to die. There is a culture of martyrdom that we hear about all the time. One of the big differences between the horrific incident of Muhammad Qadir being killed and the three Israelis being killed is that whoever killed the three Israelis, it's possible that they will have streets named after them, and they'll get money from Hamas or from outside groups for killing the Israelis, whereas the Israeli government condemned the murder of Mohammed Kadir.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. And look, Americans see what's happening in Syria with militant Islam. We know the murderous spirit of al-Qaeda. We know the murderous spirit of the Taliban. We now see what's happening with ISIS and realize, okay, Hamas is like that. Hamas is in that category. So how are others going to stand with them? And as the Muslim world is divided into factions, it has been over the centuries, but extremely factionalized these days and in murderous ways, there is not a tremendous amount of sympathy throughout the Muslim world for the more radical forms of Islam. So how does Diana Bhutu respond to this, respond to this claim of a culture of martyrdom? Clip number 19.
If you look inside Israel, there are more than 42 cities that have names of streets named after people who themselves have killed and very openly killed Palestinians and are proud for killing Palestinians. There isn't a culture of martyrdom, Jake. This is a situation in which Palestinians are being killed by the Israelis. Palestinians live and they want to live. They want to be able to live just like every other human being around the world. And this constant refrain of a culture of martyrdom is very offensive. Palestinians just want to live their lives as normal human beings. And the fact that this military occupation has gone on for such a long time is what is creating a situation which Palestinians are dying, not because they want to die, but because Israel's killing them.
Hamas to Israelis, November 2012. We love death more than you love life. The price will be high, sons of Zion. All of Palestine is ours. There is nothing here for you but death. Hamas and its military wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades, have created videos with messages for Israelis which are being broadcast on Hamas's Al-Aqsa TV. One such message addressed Israeli soldiers. From the Al-Qassam Brigades to the Zionist soldiers, the Al-Qassam Brigades love death more than you love life. That is a culture of martyrdom. Radical Islam is very conducive to a culture of martyrdom. And that's why you have little Palestinian children saying they want to grow up and be a shaheed. They want to grow up and be a martyr witness. And that is their goal. How in the world could Diana Bhutu deny this? Is she literally that ignorant of the culture of martyrdom that exists? Oh, yeah, your average person, your average Palestinian, your average human being wants to live and not die. Yes, of course. But of course there's a culture of martyrdom in Islam, especially in radical Islam. How many Hindu suicide bombers have you read about in the last 20 years? How many Buddhist suicide bombers have you read about? How many Christian suicide bombers have you read about? How many atheist suicide bombers? And on and on and on. Why so many Muslim suicide bombers? Because of a culture of martyrdom. Because of this idea that says that we can do the will of Allah and seal our eternal fate as being blessed by dying for the cause of Allah, dying in the path of Allah, and inflicting damage on the enemies of Allah, hence the justification in some parts of Islam for suicide bombers. Yes, a culture of martyrdom. It was a culture of martyrdom that led to 9/11 because those people said we will die killing others and thought that in doing so they would assure themselves a path to paradise. Come on, please. If you're going to be a spokesman for the PLO, then either be an educated spokesperson, which I trust the person is, well, then be a truthful one. You can still get sympathy for the Palestinians and still say we need to find a solution. Just say Hamas is not good for them. So for a military occupation, Israel unconditionally withdrew from Gaza. It's because of the murderous intent of the leadership of Gaza, Hamas, that Israel's had to have a military blockade and do other things. Why? To keep its people from being murdered. All right, we're going to come back with your calls. Partner with us. Help amplify our voice all across America to other nations by partnering with us as a torchbearer. Monthly support, and we'll send you as a thank you gift, the Tree of Life version of the Bible in hardcover. Go to my website right now. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you remember the tragic bombings, subway bombings in London? Here's one of the bombers in a pre-recorded videotape, Muhammad Sadiq Khan. Quote, our religion is Islam, obedience to the one true God, Allah, and following the footsteps of the final prophet and messenger Muhammad. This is how our ethical stances are dictated. A Glasgow suicide bomber, know that I did what I did for the pleasure of Allah alone. Farewell videos of those convicted in the plot to kill thousands of airline passengers over the Atlantic in 2006. Quote, we love to die in the path of Allah. On top of this is to punish and to humiliate the kuffar, the non-believer. Letter of explanation from six Muslim devotees who admitted to plotting a bomb attack on critics of Islam at a rally. What did they say? O enemies of Allah, we have heard and seen you openly insulting the final messenger of Allah. You should know that for every action, there is a reaction. Today is a day of retaliation, especially for your blasphemy of Allah and his messenger Muhammad. We love death more than you love life. This is a common refrain. I once saw on Islamic TV, Saudi Arabia, it may have been, and these Muslim clerics were discussing this and said, where did this idea ever come from that we love death more than you love, you know, we love death so much? He said, where did it come from? He was saying it's not authentic Islam, but recognizing that it is widespread in the Islamic world today, especially in radical Islam. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Patchogue, Long Island. Tom, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I wasn't aware of we love death more than you love life to the death, to what you just explained it. But when I thought about it, when I first heard it, I was wondering if it could have been, well, I didn't realize it was a general refrain among militant Islam. But when I heard it, a thought came to me, and I'm wondering if it could have been a way of saying, we want to kill you more than you want to live.
Yeah, well, that's certainly part of it. But the reality is, it's not just a matter of we want to kill you, but we'll die in the process. So let's try to understand how that could be, how that mindset could exist, all right? First, let's just say that you were fighting a war of liberation for your country, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that if you die, and that you are going to ward off the enemy that was going to kill your family and take away your freedoms. So death is a high price to pay, but it's a noble price. And that would be the noble thing to do. Patrick Henry's give me liberty or give me death. That this would be the noble thing to do. So if we die fighting for freedom, we would rather do that than live enslaved. I think we could understand that type of mentality. A soldier to this day who gives his or her life fighting for their nation has that mentality, that it's terrible to lose a life, but it's for a good cause. Now sure. Let's go further. With Islam, there is no guarantee of being accepted by Allah at death. In other words, you do your best, you try your hardest, you follow the pillars of Islam and seek to live by Islamic law, but there's no guarantee that you will be accepted. There's no assurance of eternal life or paradise. As one Muslim told me as I was witnessing to him, he said, it's 50-50. However, if you, let's say your country was invaded by some godless nation and they wanted to wipe out Islam from your country and you volunteered to fight and you died fighting for Islam, you are now guaranteed paradise. You are guaranteed heaven, and according to Muslim theology, for a man, 70 virgins that he can be with forever, and they're endless virgins and feasting forever, so it's a very carnal kind of heaven. So if you die fighting for Islam, you're guaranteed paradise. Well, what if you blow yourself up? and in doing so kill the unbelievers. Does that qualify? Many Muslim theologians say yes. You're guaranteed paradise. Hence, you love death more than life.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. Just one more note in terms of Hamas and the issue of using people as human shields. Again, it doesn't mean literally that here comes an Israeli soldier with a gun and you pick up a child and hold the child in front of you as a shield. What it means is, here's a children's school, so you set up your rocket launchers in the playground. And if Israel's going to take out the rocket launchers, then it's going to have to kill children. That's what would be human shield. You set up your command centers right in the middle of a neighborhood, a densely populated neighborhood. And, of course, Gaza is very densely populated. That's what it means to use people as human shields. So what does Israel do? Flee. Get out. Tells the citizens, leave. Leave. Why? Because we're going to take out the rocket launchers and we're going to kill the Hamas leadership. Leave. Flee. What happens if they don't leave, don't flee? Well, hundreds of missions have been stopped. Hundreds of missions have been stopped where Israel just said, we're not going to do it. But many others have been carried out, and there have been scores and scores, a couple hundred or so Palestinian casualties, and some are innocent civilians. Whose fault is that? Hamas. They provoked the attack, and they're using people as human shields. It's tragic. Palestinian blood is just as precious, just as costly as Jewish blood, as Israeli blood, but it is a tragedy for which Hamas is responsible. So this is just from last 24 hours or so, some from a few days back. Hamas spokesman Sami Abdu Zuhri, he's belittling the defeatist Palestinians who criticize the high civilian death toll. In 1945, in a single day in Algeria, 45,000 Algerians died. In a single day. It wasn't described in Algeria's history as forsaking the blood of the Algerians, as some defeatists are describing today. The number of martyrs is trading with Palestinian blood and forsaking Palestinian blood. We're not leading our people to execution. We're leading them to death. I mean, to confrontation. And then this is, again, Hamas's response and Fatah's response. So Palestinian Authority, Fatah's response to Israel telling the citizens of Gaza to flee before they attack. Hamas says this: Israel has been sending tens of thousands of voice messages to citizens' phones, asking them to evacuate their homes by a certain time. There's no reason to be concerned by them or pay attention to them. By no means should they be heeded. Hamas is recognizing, acknowledging that Israel is doing this, warning the people. Why do you warn them? Because you don't want them to be hurt. Hamas is shooting rockets to kill Israeli civilians. Israel is warning Palestinian civilians, flee, because we don't want to hurt you. And there are civilian casualties, yes. Whose fault? Hamas. Unless you expect Israel to just have its population bombed, 70% of its population having to go into bomb shelters or hide from rocket attack. This is what Fatah said, July 12th. Fatah Central Committee member Amal Hamad said the occupation, meaning Israel, has distributed letters to citizens residing near the border area, ordering them to evacuate their homes. She emphasized that the citizens will not respond to these letters, will not leave their homes. You know, this whole idea, people said, oh, I don't believe Israel really does it. No, that's just propaganda. No, they're telling you. That Israel does it. You know, maybe now more people will believe that in the war in 1948, as the surrounding Arab nations attacked Israel, that there were neighborhoods where Israel distributed leaflets to the people living in the neighborhoods, to the Arabs, saying, stay here. Stay here. You are not our enemies. You're our neighbors. They broadcast in Arabic and Hebrew on the air saying, stay here. You are not our enemies. You are our neighbors. And the Arab nation said, get out. A cannon can't distinguish between a Jew and an Arab. When we drive the Jews into the sea, then you come back to your land and your homes. Well, they didn't drive the Jews into the sea, and those homes and lands were lost. Whose fault is that? The Arab leadership. The Muslim leadership. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bill in Phoenix. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Blessings and greetings, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
I want to premise my question out of Joel 3-2, based on what you've been just talking about. When people, whether they're preachers from Islam or preachers from Christianity or preachers that are posing as reporters from the Middle East, when they play the race card, they need to know the Bible is, the Old Testament especially, goes to great lengths to give us ethnic heredities, and we can know that if a person sides with someone that's known to be wanting to be a suicide bomber or whatever, this can clearly be seen that they're more aligned with someone out of Cain nature or out of Noah's other two sons rather than Shem.
But here, bottom line, though, Bill, it's an Islamic theology, and you have Western Muslims, you have Muslims from America that now embrace this culture of martyrdom. You have Muslims from the UK. I'm talking about born Brits who have switched over their allegiance, and on and on. So the bottom line is, it's an ideology that transcends one particular ethnic group, because you have Arab Christians, and you have Muslims who do not hold, you have Arabs who do not hold to this same culture of martyrdom. So it comes not just from an ethnicity, but specifically it comes from a theology and an ideology. But anyway, a question about a scripture. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, that does lead right into the scripture and a straightforward question, inquiry about rightly dividing the word of truth. When God speaks of my people, I'm convinced that he's talking about Jews. You have to have been from Abraham. But it might include Ishmael. It might include Esau. But when he speaks about my heritage Israel, he's speaking specifically about Jacob, the 12 tribes. Do you have any problem with rightly dividing God saying combination, like in Joel 3:2, where he seems to say clearly, for my people and for my heritage Israel, he seems to divide the two, and we should keep that in mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's dividing there. That's more just a Hebrew expression which can repeat something from the first half of a verse to the second half. So it's just, it would be as if I was putting a comma, if I was saying my wonderful wife, my beautiful bride, my precious Nancy. Well, I'm talking about the same person three different ways. So my people, my heritage, the heritage, though, often includes the land, that God can even speak of the land as his heritage. But I agree, those verses are speaking about Israel. And the reason for reading Joel 3:2, many say, okay, is this a future prophecy? I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land. Does God still look at it that way? If so, tread carefully. Hey, Bill, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Waterloo, Iowa. Lou, welcome to the Line of Fire.
I think that, you know, obviously the situation in the Middle East is terrible, and that when anyone gets killed over there, especially the women, the innocent women and children, Palestine, Israeli, it sickens me. I'm concerned, and I think what happens is, and I'm very worried about people who hijack religion And I think when anybody hides, I think innately a religion is supposed to be good. I don't care even what religion you talk about. However, when a group of people hijack a religion for some purpose, that is what scares me. And I'm very concerned about Christianity being hijacked in this country, and that somehow this idea of liberty and freedom is going along with the idea of Christianity. And then I really do. That's what worries
so,
me. About
yeah, so this. Lou, who do you feel? Just so I understand, who do you feel is hijacking Christianity in America?
Well, I don't think it's being hijacked yet, but I think it's on the road to. And
by whom? I'm just making sure I understand you.
I would say the right wing fringe elements of the Tea Party, like the people who shot the officers in Las Vegas.
All right, stay right here, Lou. Yeah, stay right here. Okay. I just want to talk to you more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Just looking at this report now from Israel since the end of the humanitarian truce at 3 p.m., which would have been in Israel time, so that would be 7 hours ago, 100 projectiles were fired into Israel by Hamas. IDF drops leaflets over Gaza, warning people to vacate their villages. And the IDF ground forces have now begun to move into the Gaza Strip. The reason being to destroy Gazan terror tunnels leading to Israel. That is according to a statement released by the Prime Minister's office. And we have friends who have their kids in the army, and they constantly tell us. I have spoken to young people who've served in the Israeli military, and they have consistently talked about the extreme care that needs to be taken to avoid civilian casualties. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Lou, back to you here. I'm just slightly confused about one thing. The radical right extremists, which we've always had, are no more reflective of the Tea Party than a black supremacist group that wants to that says white men are the manifestation of Satan, than they are reflective of your average African American Democrat. So the fact that you have there potentially some connection to Tea Party, but otherwise, you know, some saying these folks were white supremacists, and you know, the shooters in Las Vegas. I mean, there's no connection to Tea Party. There's no connection to Christianity. They're just right wing extremists. That's what I don't understand.
In
terms of why you'd mention them as related to the Tea Party.
Well, they laid a Tea Party flag on one of the officers. That's a fact. That's a fact.
And they also
right
and a swastika.
Sure. I agree with you that anytime.
No, but in other words, since that has nothing to do with Tea Party ideology, and since there's not been there's a caricature that some of the liberal media puts out, or that it's racist, or which of course was bogus. But that's it would be like me saying that because somebody who went out and tried to kill a Christian voted for Barack Obama, that somehow that Barack Obama or the Democrats want to kill Christians.
Well, unfortunately, that's some of the, you know, although that might not be exactly what's being printed and said, that's the type of things that are coming out nowadays. I mean, I find it remarkable how
I saw that they covered the officers' bodies with a flag that said, "Don't tread on me," not a Tea Party flag. But can you just tell me anything here? People misuse the Bible. I'm just trying to understand you. People misuse the Bible and they kill people. They say God told me to drive demons out of my daughter and to put her in the oven and to burn the demons out, and they kill their kids. But that has nothing to do with the Bible. That has to do with somebody being mentally ill or somebody just being murderous and crazily sinful. So,
I would hope so, yes.
Right. So is there anything in Tea Party ideology that would suggest under any circumstances that it would be good to kill a police officer because that person represents the government?
Not out of the original Tea Party. I don't know if the Tea Party has a constitution, but I think the original Tea Party had some real good ideas. But I also see, and I also think that this is going to happen. I think that that group of people is going to be hijacked, and somehow they somehow bring in Christianity into this too, and somehow they do.
All right, so it has nothing to do with the ideology of the Tea Party, and nothing to do with the ideology of Christianity. It has to do with some extremists or crazy people who are going to try to use Christianity or use Tea Party ideology or some other ideology to justify violent acts against the government.
Yes, that's my biggest worry. You nailed it right on the head. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to say this. Yeah, tragically, people have done that. They have used God, as I say, to justify insane acts. They have used the Bible to justify insane acts. They have burned people at the stake using the Bible as justification. They have told people be baptized or die using Christianity as justification. The fact is, though, it must be a – and by the way, I'm not Tea Party. I'm not even deeply familiar with Tea Party ideology. I simply know that the Tea Party has often been grossly misrepresented by the liberal media. But I understand you're not doing that. You're just saying that people could hijack. Yeah, I have no question that we'll see all kinds of craziness done in the name of religion, done in the name of God, done in the name of political ideologies, and that America really is in a very unstable point in its history right now from many, many different sides. And of course, we've seen the greatest mass murderers of all who were atheists. The difference, I would say, is we just bring things back to some of the discussion we've had, and I've got to run, but I'm glad we got clarification. I appreciate it. But the difference with Islam would be you really can use Islamic texts to justify violence. You really can use Islamic texts to justify violent acts against the unbelievers, or to justify beheading, or to justify maiming, or to justify all types of atrocious punishments, and even to justify a culture of martyrdom, allegedly for the cause of Allah. Whereas you cannot rightly use the Bible to do that. You must radically misuse it. Hey, Lou, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. All right, friends, we've covered a lot of volatile ground today. I want to reiterate that every time I hear a report about Hamas launching more rockets into Israel and Hamas refusing ceasefire agreements, I think compassionately of the Muslim people there. I think compassionately of the Palestinians. I'm not just concerned with Israel's protection. I'm concerned about innocent people dying because of the leadership errors of Hamas. So when we pray for the peace of Israel, pray for mercy on the Palestinians as well, and for turning to the Messiah and for awakening of the falsehood and deception, not just of Islam, but of the radical Islam that they are under. And friends, I have no problem whatsoever encouraging you to support the work we're doing. All the support that goes in goes right back out and helps us touch people that need to hear this broadcast, that need to read the materials we're putting out as we fulfill our part right now, the part that God's given us to do to help equip the body and strengthen the body so we can go out and be world changers and bring the gospel to the Jewish people, to the Muslim people, to America, to the ends of the earth. Help us with your support. Go to my website now, askdrbrown.org. Become a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter. Together, we'll make a massive difference. My bottom line today, as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for God's mercy on the Palestinian peoples as well.